Good morning. I'm Nahal Hogugi. I'm a PhD student of University of Georgia. I would like to talk about the impact of on-site wastewater treatment systems on nitrogen in base flow and storm flow conditions in urban watersheds of metropolitan Atlanta, Georgia. The outline of my presentation is briefly about the introduction, and I will talk about the two conditions. While one is a base flow condition and the results for this part, and the second part is the storm flow conditions and results, and at the end is a summary of my talk. The percent of the homes that are occupied by septic systems in the United States, EPA reported as a 13% in the west of the United States, 19% in northeast, and in 22% in midwest, and 46% in the south. In Georgia, more than 30% of homes are on a septic systems, and in our study area, in metropolitan Atlanta, Georgia, about 26% of homes are on a septic system, and is expected this percent increase in the future with increasing the population of this area. Average daily wastewater production for a home is approximated about 189 to 285 liters per person per day, and the annual nitrogen loading rate is estimated about 2,880 kilogram nitrogen per square kilometer per year for a house. That we can imagine that amount yearly goes through to the septic systems. Briefly, the septic system or on-site wastewater treatment systems consists of a septic tank and a drain field, that the primary treatment happens in the septic tank between the anaerobic digestion and sedimentation, and the secondary digestion happens in the drain field between the trench and surrounded soil. And usually the raw wastewater consists of the organic nitrogen of 3 to 25 ppm, ammonium 38 to 50 mg per liter, and nitrate is 0 to 0.7 mg per liter. And the nitrogen cycle for the septic system consists of the two parts, one part in a septic tank that happens between the organic nitrogen that goes through the mineralization and converted to ammonium. This ammonium in drain field can be go through the nitrification and converted to nitrate. This nitrate can be easily leached and leached from the soil profile, or in anaerobic conditions goes through to microbial denitrification and converted to nitrous oxide or dinitrogen gas and lost from the system. Among the nutrients, the main concern is nitrate, because high concentration of nitrate in drinking water can cause methemoglobinemia or blue baby syndrome, and the threshold for the nitrate in a drinking water is about 10 ppm nitrate. But what about the streams? The total nitrogen threshold for streams to protect from eutrophication, the only available data for the southeast of the United States is belong to the ecoregion Southern Coastal Plain for Florida. That the state of the Florida announced its amount of the threshold for total nitrogen is about 0.67 to 1.87 ppm, and the EPA after that for 25th percentile for 9 streams of Florida reported this amount, this concentration as a 0.9 milligram per liter. That is in the range of the state of Florida that reported. Also, the effect of the urbanization in quality and the quantity of groundwater and surface water was investigated before. One of the research that have been done by Calhoun et al. In 2003, they investigated the effect of the urbanization in the Upper Chattahoochee River Basin in Georgia, and they saw that with increasing the percent of the imperviousness surface, the total flow decreased, because when we have high percent of imperviousness surface, we have less infiltration of the soil to the groundwater and less discharge of the groundwater in a base flow condition. Now we are looking at the base flow conditions. The study area is in a southern Piedmont of a southern Piedmont in the southeast of Atlanta in a Gwinnett County. Here in Atlanta is a Gwinnett County, and this in this area we selected 24 watersheds. All these 24 watersheds, there are a small watershed, and the area is about 0.8 to about 9 square kilometers. All these watersheds are on a Akani Basin and Akamali Basin, Akamali Basin River, River Basin, and that drains to the Altamaha River and from them to the Atlantic Ocean. We divided these 24 watersheds to two groups according to the number of the septic system per square kilometer. 12 are the low density watersheds, the blue one, with a number of the septic system less than 39 septic system per square kilometer. And the red one, the watershed with more than 77 septic systems per square kilometer. We did the synoptic measurements for a base flow, from base flow, 3 times a year for 2 years to obtain the seasonal changes in a base flow. And we measured the discharge of a stream by using the current meter method. At the same time, we collected water samples. And here in this hydrograph, you can see one of the, this hydrograph is one of the gauge station for USGS in one of the high density watersheds in Big Haynes Creek. We totally did 9 synoptic measurements, and the blue line are in a current conditions, and their yellow dots are the median daily statistics for 12 years for a discharge. And you can see that most of the time until the January 2013, we were in a very dry condition. We were below the median daily statistics for 12 years. And all the water samples that we collected from 24 watersheds analyzed for ammonium nitrate and chloride and total KDAL nitrogen, or TKN, that consists of the organic nitrogen. And we did the isotope N15 of nitrate in the water samples. The result of this part is the result from the discharge that we measured and the basin area, we calculated the base flow yield. It's a graph of the base flow yield in a y-axis and the date of the sampling, 9 sampling that we had. We can see that the high density watershed most of the time had a higher base flow yield in compared with the low density watershed. However, statistically, there is no significant difference between the base flow yield between these two types of the watersheds. In this slide, you can see we have higher difference in July 2012. And again, if we look at the discharge of the one of the USGS gauge, we see that in July 2012. We were in a very dry condition, and there is a map of a dry condition for the state of the Georgia, and here is the Gwinnett County, and we see that it's in a, about a severe dry condition in this part. So the difference may be because of the dry condition, and we get a higher base flow in a high density watershed. There is a box plot of some important characteristics of selected watersheds. That the upper left is a septic system density, and we can see that there is a the high density has a median of about 250 septic system per square, and the low density is about less than 50. And the watershed, the percent of the watershed slope, they are very close median together, these two watersheds. And the median of the distance of the septic system on these two watersheds is still, they are very close together. And one of the important characteristics of urban watersheds is percent of imperviousness. And you can see that in a high density watershed, the median of the percent of imperviousness is about 80%, and in a low density is about 6%. And as I mentioned before, there was a study that they showed that with increasing the impervious surface, the total flow decreased. So we expected that we get a lower base flow in high density. However, we got a higher base flow most of the time in a high density watershed. So we can conclude that maybe the effects of the imperviousness offset by the presence of the septic system in these high density watersheds. There is a graph of the total nitrogen as a function of on-site wastewater treatment systems. And we can see in a low density watershed that there are green. With increasing the septic system density, the total nitrogen decreased with R score of 0.24. And in high density septic system watershed, this amount increased with R square of 0.79, and this increased about the constant rate of 1 part per million, the increase from 1 to 5. However, we have some high concentration of the total nitrogen in some of these the low density watersheds. Again, in the nitrate, we see the same trend. With increasing the septic system density in low density watersheds, the nitrate concentration decreased, and in high density watersheds, this nitrate concentration increased with R square of 0.63. Again, we see some watersheds with high nitrate concentration in a low density watershed. So we are looking at this part, and we are looking at the low density. Now we are zoom on the low density watershed, and saw that there are three watersheds, number 2, 6, and 8, that have higher nitrate concentration in a low density watershed. And in a low density watershed, when we have less septic systems, so we have more agricultural land use. So one of the potential source of this high nitrate concentration is maybe agricultural land use. And then we looked at the percent of the agricultural land use and see that these three watersheds that has a high density, high concentration of nitrate in a low density watershed has a higher percent of agricultural land use. Another potential source is sewer line. And again, we looked at the GIS layer for the sewer line in a low density watershed, and we see that two of those three watersheds, number 2 and 6, we have a sewer line as a monitoring point. So it must be another potential source for this high nitrate concentration in a low density watershed. Also, we use the isotope N15 of a nitrate in a water sample to see to differentiate between the different source of a nitrate in our streams. We see the same trend in low density and high density. With increasing the septic system, the N15 value increased. But totally, you can see all the N15 for both low density and high density is the same range. They start from 3 per mil to about 11. There is a specific range for each of the source of a nitrate. And in a study by Kendall and McDonald in 1998, they reported that the range of the N15 for a manure and septic waste started from 0 to 25. And in our study, we see that this is all our samples are in this range. Also, for a nitrate fertilizer, they reported that this range is start from negative 5 to about 6. And see, we have this range in our study. So we see that we have some mixing effect in this watershed in both low density and high density watershed. In a study by Mayer et al. In 2002, they show the effects of the denitrification and the mixing with a nitrate concentration and isotope N15. And they show that if we have just denitrification with increasing the nitrate concentration, the N15 value decreases. Because the microbial, the bacteria and microbial organism, they usually use the lighter isotope, and what is remain in a system is a higher, the N15 in a system. However, if we have a mixing effect that has a nitrate from different source, with increasing the nitrate concentration, N15 increase. So it shows that as the microbial using this nitrate, there is another source that add the nitrate to our systems. We looked at our data and the same, and we see that clear trend that with increasing the nitrate, the isotope N15 increase as a polynomial function in both low density and high density with an R square of 0.86 in low density and 0.65 for high density. So we can see that we are at least two source that we have a mixing effect in those watershed with a higher score in low density. Maybe we had more mixing effect in a low density watershed. And also we looked at the TKN concentration in both watersheds, and there is no increasing in the TKN in a high density and low density watershed. However, we got a higher TKN concentration in some watersheds. And then we looked at the seasonal difference between these two watersheds, and we saw that we got a higher TKN in summer in compared with the winter and the spring, and there is a statistically difference between the TKN concentration because the appropriate temperature for microbial activity during the summer. And this part, we are looking at the storm flow conditions. From those 24 watersheds, we selected four watersheds, two from low density, the blue one, and two from high density watersheds. They are ungauged stations, so we install ESCO samplers in each watershed, and we program the ESCO samplers to take a water sample every 15 minutes. And there are 12 bottles, 11 as a, each of the 11, first 11 collect samples from 15 each interval, and the last bottle is a composite, so it shows us the average characteristics of each storm. And then we looked at we calculate the load according to the carrying rate equation for each watershed. And we see that in most of the watersheds, three of the watersheds, we got a higher load of TKN during the storm in compared with a nitrate. The nitrate graph is the red one and the TKN is the green one. However, in the high density watershed number 17, we got a higher nitrate load in two or three storms. And then we looked at the percent of the TKN and nitrate as a total nitrogen load, and we see that there's a clear trend in TKN that with going from the high density to low density, the TKN increase, and then for a nitrate from low density to high density, this percent increase. And again, and then we looked at compared the base flow results with the storm composite and storm average, and we see the same clear trend for nitrate. We get a higher nitrate in base flow condition in high density watershed, and less TKN during the base flow in compared with the storm conditions. And again, in a low density watershed, we see the same trend. In summary, we can conclude that in the base flow conditions, base flow yield results indicate the same or higher discharge in high-density watersheds and a significant linear increase in nitrate concentration above the threshold of about 100 septic system per square kilometer. In a storm flow condition, on average, 58% of total nitrogen load was in the form of the TKN, and 42% was nitrate. And at the end, this research was funded by a grant from the USA NIFA National Integrated Water Quality Program. And I need to acknowledge from my major advisor, Dr. David Ratcliffe, my committee members, John Clark in USGS and UGA Environmental Water Laboratory. I don't know, and thank you. And I don't know if we have time for question or
not. We have 1 minute. Have a quick question. Okay, we'll move on. We'll have 10 minute break.
Thank you.